The 2017 AFL season is proudly brought to you by Toyota. Toyota footy. Oh, what a feeling.
Triple M footy is the number one football call on radio. And your front row.
For Fiat Doblo, one small step for van, one giant leap for vankind. With versatility and a 660-kilo payload, Fiat Doblo is your right-hand van. Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Rub.
For McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. Etihad Stadium is the venue. North Melbourne, Essendon is the game. Two traditional rivals. Love when these two mobs come together. But we're about an hour and 45 minutes away from that. Before we do, let me tell you what's coming up. Alex Keith we're going to talk to in about 20 minutes. Great story. Nice football played by that young man on debut last night. Look forward to chatting to Keithy. And then Jack Zeeble in here, rested for this game, although I understand he's got an injury. And Josh Green is also coming in for the Essendon Footy Club. So there's your lineup. We've got a vault back from 1991 that, I understand some skullduggery was done behind the scenes to put this one to air. We're going to put that to bed once and for all when the vault comes. But as I always say, look around the room, the rest of the business assembled here. Back from Adelaide last night, Duck and BT and Damo's here as well. Going to talk to Damo in a sec about a big day yesterday. Hello, Bristle.
Hello, JB. And you must be firming somewhat because it's been 7, 10 years or something since you've called a North Melbourne game. And here we are today, North Melbourne Essendon at Etihad Stadium, roof closed, by the way. You are going to get the opportunity to see you blokes and call them.
I'd like us to be in slightly better form from a comeback, but Duck, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. When North play Essendon, a special extra layer gets laid on.
Yeah, not only that, he obviously left the footy show. They're cooked. he left North and they're second bottom. So he's... Please don't ever leave North Melbourne.
Triple M,
because, might be all out of a job. Hey, I've got to say, last night, out on the ground with BT, and I get very nervous when you're out there, you know, sort of roaming BT on the ground, because you just don't know what he's going to come out with. But all of the assistant coaches of both teams, he doesn't know this because I'm out on the ground a little bit earlier, all came up to me and they all said, what's on the vault tomorrow? What's on the vault? And I said, I don't find out until we get there on the day, and then we find out what we're going to hear.
It's got the industry by the throat.
That is fair dinkum. Every single assistant, they can't wait, BT. So
you're going to mention my kicking.
Oh, I will mention that. So we're out on the ground. He said, listen, now tonight we're going to do this. I want to talk about how Adelaide do this short chip. They play within their limitations. So I'm going to kick the ball to you. And I said, well, do you want it? And he's got a ball. And I said, do you want to practice a little bit? He goes, okay. So he gets about 20 metres away, misses me by about 20 metres with the first four kicks. And I said, if this goes live and you do one of these, this is going to be hilarious. Yeah, and he said, you better get there if it's a little bit off.
I do more kicking than you do these days.
Yeah, boy. Anyway, he did hit the target. It was a very good kick.
Very nice. Now, Dave, I've been a big 24 hours or more?
Yeah, it was, Jim. It all went down yesterday. I'm sure everyone's caught up with it now because there's been absolutely saturation coverage of it.
What
Hutchie happened? Out, Ed in.
And 2 weeks break and then bang,
2 weeks
we're
recess.
Back and, right.
So we'll, to use Ross Lyon's words, restock, replumb, restump and come back for the final, whatever it is, rounds.
And, now, Damo, we go right around the country. We have people listening in Perth and Adelaide that don't know what happened on Thursday night. What happened?
Okay, Sam hardly spoke, basically, and it obviously made it very difficult for the co-host, Rebecca Murdenduck, and Hutchie. And clearly that action, BT, then put into a chain of events which I think was already happening. This is all hindsight, given I had
no
knowledge.
Can you tell us why he didn't speak?
Yeah, I think I can now because people are now talking about it quite openly. He wanted, and even Eddie did last night, so yes, I can. He wanted to, I believe, dress up as a woman in some form. I don't know what form, but it was in relation to the AFL executives having the relationships with AFL people. And I don't know how that was meant to be done, and I've got no idea of the backstory to it. But yeah, Eddie himself admitted, I think, last night on our show on the huddle that he probably wouldn't have let him do that as well. So that was the reason for it, Duck. And I think, again, hindsight had been simmering for a couple of days before the Thursday night. Jim, you know Sam on the Thursday night. You can have seem in a mood at 8:28, but red light's on, everything's okay. probably 9 times out of 100, but clearly Thursday night it
So I imagine, and I hate ever speaking for anyone, but I know Sam obviously very well. I imagine that he would have been of the view that, how can I most delicately put this, relations between two consenting adults is between the two of them, and it was a disgrace that they were sacked. That's what I imagine he would have thought.
I reckon you're
safe. And he wanted to come on and say, what the hell, where are we at in 2017 when someone as senior as legal counsel decides to, you know, have an affair with someone who's
a consensual
affair within a workplace.
Between adults.
Yep. And now we've got two people summarily, you know, marched out of the... That's, I imagine, what he would have taken exception to.
Yes, and clearly what he did then prompted the media. Herald Sun did quite an amazing job to somehow turn around their front cover, which often doesn't happen these days with printing constraints and publication constraints, BT, but changed their front cover to Sam being that way. And then clearly, and again, hindsight only, I'm telling this, able to say this now, whatever was going to happen ended up happening yesterday. It was going to happen maybe next week, the week after, whatever it was. Because while Eddie Maguire comes out and says this was hours in the making, these types of arrangements don't get done on the back of hours of conversation. They get done on the back of months of conversation.
And it's a message.
Or certainly weeks, anyway.
What are you saying? That this has been going on for months?
Oh, well, clearly, BT. Oh, well, weeks. Let's go with weeks. You can't just wake up on a Thursday morning and get all your contractual houses in order for it to happen. And that's what business happens, BT. And Hutchie himself, I heard him this morning on his own show, and again, handled it absolutely with full class and with humour, but said himself, as the businessman, and this is where he's very smart, as the businessman, he said, I would have done the same thing. So that's the upshot of it all, and Ned's now in charge.
Now, I... maybe speaking out of order here, and I don't even know if this is public. Is it public that not only is Ed running the show, but his company is going to be also running the show?
I believe that to be the case, Jim. Yep. Again, it's not, as far as I know, public, and what is in place for the remainder of 2017 will be as is, but I think like every single...
So we won't see any change for the rest of the year then?
I will see change, yeah. Right. I believe, and again, I've got no, to use the AFL word, optics on what those changes are, BT, but the fact that it's going into recess for 2 weeks, it's not going to come back the same way.
I didn't know that. It's going into recess?
For 2 weeks, yeah. So this
August
coming Thursday?
10 or something like that?
Whatever the Thursday falls on. Yeah,
for the next show?
And obviously with round 18, so that will be coming back for the pre-round, what will be 19 next week, the pre-round 21. So, yeah, there will still be 7 or 8 shows.
And you work within the show, obviously. How's it been received by everyone?
Look, it's been awkward, Jim, because of the uncertainty around the future, obviously. I mean, there's people who now don't know what happens beyond probably 2 weeks' time in some instances, and obviously beyond the end of 2017 as to what happens there and then. But that's TV, that's the industry, and, we're all prepared and potentially facing whatever happens.
We're talking about the Sam issue as being one of the issues that perhaps brought this forward a little, as you say, Damo. But what about the competition from on Channel 7, the front bar and the boys there over the last month or so?
Clearly it's a part of it, BT, and that has now been 4 weeks, and if you want to just do the absolute head-to-head on it, the facts are the front bar won 3 out of 4. And you can argue that, you know, they'll close results or whatever, but the ultimate outcome of it is the fact, and that was it. And again, it has put challenges to that show I say we because I've been part of it for 9 or 10 years now myself, but the show has not faced in that time slot from a footy program anyway. So, yeah, it's all part of it. It's clearly all part of it. And as Hutchie said himself this morning, and again, just backing over how well he spoke, he just said he's the difference between what happened last year to this year, and he hasn't delivered the numbers.
Well, Damo, for what it's worth, you know how big a fan I am of the show, and I'm also very good friends with both Eddie and Hutchie, so I don't have any issue, obviously, there. I think it's something they had to do, and I hope that it is the exact ingredient that will keep this iconic show going for another 10 years.
Well, how do you look at it, Jim, given what happened to you obviously last year as well, with part of the conversation and as to why it's got to this point yesterday where the host is now being changed for the second time inside of the 12 months?
Well, what I look at it is that it's, as I say, I think it's a huge part of Australian television landscape. I think it's a massive part of AFL footy landscape. I've always said, even when you and I were doing it together, Damo, that the AFL was never appreciative enough of the heavy lifting the footy show did on behalf of the competition. It is 23 years of 2 hours of live television in prime time that up until this year has won its slot comprehensively, has won 5 or 6 or 7 Logies in that time. It has been a phenomenon, that thing. And I'm very hopeful that Ed coming back and the rebirth, as I think he called it in his presser, is exactly what the show needs to, as I say, load up and go for another 10 years, because it would be a poorer television landscape, especially now when I reckon television's copping it in the neck pretty hard, if that 2 hours of live television fell away.
Mm.
So I hope it is, you know, it is brilliant and works really well.
Yeah, yeah. And I think all of those things you just said were obviously things that the network itself was analysing on a weekly basis. And as you said, it probably had to be done given the tracking of the numbers over the year.
Hutchie would acknowledge that.
You know, he has himself today, yeah. And
by the way,
I think on that too, I mean, just not that I'm going to be ultra defensive of the show, because it deserves to cop whatever it cops, because that's the way the world works and we give it ourselves. But when you compare 2017 figures with 1996 figures, just forget it, people. It's a different lifestyle. There were 3 free-to-air stations back when this
and
show
no
started.
And no Fox and no Netflix.
No phones internet. To do anything other than make phone calls on. And even then, they're only 3 or 4 years old in terms of everyone having them. So that's, you can't compare it to those numbers.
And what do you make about Eddie's comments I took note of yesterday, getting the footy show back to being fun again? I guess that's probably what the Channel 7 front bar has been. It's been fun and it's been easy to watch because you don't have to tune in for fact and figures. It's just been fun.
Yeah.
Do you subscribe to that?
Yeah, look, I think the intent is to make it fun. And the show, I would argue, 2 shows ago, so the one before the most recent Thursday, was, I reckon, for what it's worth, as good a footy show as you could put together. But again, that was maybe one. And there have been very high points in other shows this year too. But maybe over the 2 hours, and it does go for 2 hours and 15 minutes regularly, which is a networking thing. I mean, it's a long time to ask people to be committed
too long for me
in 2017.
I reckon that's one of the issues with it. Just drags on too long.
Yeah, but when you've got that audience and you're trying to hold them over a period of time, Bristol, to win the night, that's,
but JB,
that's a bit of what
I've
they
always
do.
Been a believer. Leave them wanting more. Hmm. You know, if you go an hour and a half and you pack that hour and a half full of your best stuff, it means a half an hour of the stuff that shouldn't have otherwise got to air doesn't go to air, because it hasn't been of the quality of the hour and a half.
At Triple M Footy, if you want to have some input into this conversation. The other thing, BT, is that the landscape, as Damo said, back in the late 90s, was so different to now. It was the only footy show that existed in the late 90s, early 2000s. Now, I reckon there are 30.
Yeah.
Well, Fox Footy's got about 20 on their own station. Mm. And it's brilliant, by the way. I absolutely love the fact that there's so much diversity within television football now. I love the front bar. I love Mick Molloy, Sam Pang, brilliant. So
Access All Areas, Jim.
Access All Areas. You can go everywhere and see great footy content on a visual format. Go back to the late 90s. The footy show was it. You guys did the Sunday footy show. They might have been the only 2 footy shows on the dial. So it is such a different landscape now. Maybe for Ed going forward, he's just got to be really honest with everyone and say, well, you know, somewhere between 175 and 275 viewers sees us out. Maybe.
Knowing Ed, he won't be wanting to settle
for
that. But I tend to think that may well be the new norm.
Of the spread, JB, across all these shows.
The big audience just isn't there anymore. So you just say, look, if we get that, we're happy. We can sell it. We can make money off that. It's an ongoing concern. We can put ripping shows together. And the rating landscape is just different.
And again, just to give a little bit more clarity, the share, which is obviously the amount of people watching at that point in time, the share has not deviated much. I mean, it's still up to the close to 30% BT regularly, which is actually a pretty significant share number. But again, the share of a smaller number is obviously the key.
But it's also the same with what you guys are doing. I watched you last night. Brilliant coverage of the Geelong Adelaide game. But the free-to-air viewing numbers across all sports in Australia is well down on 20 years ago, because people have got so many other options, Bristol. It's just the fact of television in 2017. And the sooner we realise that and stop harking on ratings figures and just get on to whether you like it or not, the better. Well, this is the only industry that's held audience. Radio.
Yeah, live sport. Look, you know, I remember, Duck, I don't know whether you were there a couple of years ago, and Tim Warner, our boss at Channel 7, came down and spoke to the insiders at 7 about live sport was going to be where commercial TV in Australia is going to go.
Free to air.
And he has been absolutely spot on. That was about 3 or 4 years ago he said that. And I tell you what, since then it's all been about live sport on Australian commercial TV. It's 100% right.
Absolutely.
And that's where it's at.
But still, the numbers are down. Look at the Test cricket numbers last year. We're down 20% on the year before. The NRL numbers are down. The
broadcast down. This year on
actually,
Seven are up.
AFL is up this year with Seven. So it's slightly up on last year, which and that's a big tick. And I think that's clearly due to what we're having. We're having
as a season.
Magnificent season.
Hi, I'm Mark Boris. Every single day in Australia, people are busting their guts in starting and running their own businesses. It's a big deal. 60% of Australians are hired by small to medium-sized business owners. These guys are doing their bit, buying stock, hiring people, and paying their taxes. So what is it like to start your own business? How do you go from just running a business on the side after work to owning something much bigger? How do you make it your future? Join me on The Mentor, a weekly show on Podcast One where I speak to Aussie business owners who are working through just that. I find out what makes them tick. I help them work out their next steps for their growth and for their future.
The Mentor with Mark Burris. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Crows too good for Geelong last night. Top of the table clash, 21 points. Probably flattered the Cats in the end. It looked on television anyway. I don't know if you two boys were there. It looked like it was about a 40-point margin game.
Even a bit more, JB, I reckon.
Adelaide missed some real gettable set shots that would have put considerable distance between them and the Cats. And if you look at the stats of a duck, outside of the clearances, the stats are all pretty even, which tells me that one side's class really shone.
Yeah, class and also, I reckon, hardness and tackling. Geelong actually won the tackling, but Adelaide's ferocity at the man with the footy, and they stuck their tackles.
And this is what we've been waiting for, and we've been wondering about the premiership with Adelaide. Could they win it? And you asked the question a few weeks ago, could they win it without the aggression? We got the aggression last night, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. And they hunted in packs. I mean, every time Dangerfield got the footy, it was two or three on him. Like I said, they stuck their tackles and yeah, Sloan,
after weeks of being tagged, was pushing guys and shoving them and giving them a bit back off the footy.
No, they played, you know, they played last night, and I haven't seen this for quite some time in Adelaide. They played a finals brand of footy last night. So on top of the class and execution of good skills, their kicking skills at times last night were absolutely brilliant.
And hands in tight too.
Yeah, hands in tight.
Hands in tight, unreal. Yeah. Almost Bulldogs-like of last year. Yeah. And the intensity in which they played really was finals-like in the first quarter and a half when the game had to be won.
And you called during the game, Bristol, and I couldn't agree with you anymore. I love what Tex is doing.
Yep.
Not only the way he plays, but just the physicality with which he bashes into blokes and lets them know when they've maybe not gone hard enough or made a blue that's
cost a goal. And we haven't seen enough of that from him, JB, over the time. And that's why I was so rapt to see that last night. He, as the skipper, led the way in that. Sloan joined in the fun as well.
Yeah, he did. He's become it. And it's a little bit manufactured with him because it's not his natural thing to do. But what I will still say about Tex, and I don't read all of Dermy's article, but I read it because it was on Tex, and Dermot's one of the greatest centre forwards we've seen. So I thought it would be interesting to get his take on Tex. Tex is very good one-on-one mark. So he knows how to use his body. When he's one-on-one, he can jump in at market. When there's a pack situation, he does get muddled up in the pack. He's out of position. He's either under it, he's not quite there. Last night he attacked at BT. He brought it to ground, but still, that to me, he still could be way better in that situation. Yep. Doesn't even look like taking a pack mark at the moment, but at least he's flying at them and having a crack at them, whereas I reckon he went through a period where he wasn't doing that.
And their back line really solid, even with Lever out of the side. Keith, who we're going to hopefully talk to shortly, he came in, didn't put a foot wrong, didn't get a heap of it, but every time he went near the ball, he did the right thing. You know, with Talia looking after the big bears down there when he's got that sort of player. I tell you, the most improved player at the Adelaide Football Club has to be a guy that did not play one game last year is Jake Kelly. Yeah. He played 15 the year before, did not get a game last year. He's done everything possible, and he has not put a foot wrong. He's playing within himself, JB, so he doesn't try, you know, the Hollywood stuff. If he's not capable of something, he won't try and do it. He's been an absolute valuable acquisition down back for him.
He has simplified his whole game. That's exactly what he's done. And also, he's become confident in his ability in doing exactly that. He doesn't fumble. He doesn't make mistakes that he shouldn't make. And, you know, I agree. He's one of the most improved players.
And he
in the
was run with. Now he's a standalone defender, one-on-one, arm across. I agree. He's terrific. So was this bloke last night, Alex Keith. Great story. He was one of the protected signings for the Gold Coast when they first started, but chose to play cricket instead and played first-class cricket for Victoria. Of course, BBL for the Stars, and then went over to Adelaide and has now jumped back into AFL footy. Debuted last night in fine fashion. Keithy, welcome to Triple M Footy.
Thanks, Joe,
mate. You must be pinching yourself. It's been an incredible journey you've been on, but 50,000 Adelaide Oval pumping last night, first against second. What a cracking way to start your footy career.
Yeah, it was pretty special last night. It was a big build-up having the family and jump presentation before the game, so I was pretty keen for the umpire to bounce the ball and get into it, but no, I couldn't have gone better. Couldn't ask for a better game to start.
Your long path to football, Alex, did you feel at any stage of it, even this year when you started training and getting yourself together as a Crow, did you feel that it was going to be a bridge too far for you?
I guess I always hoped I'd crack in. The Adelaide side over the last 2 years has been pretty settled with not a lot of injuries last year and obviously some pretty solid winning form, so... I was just trying to stay patient and work on my game and just make sure that I am ready when I get an opportunity.
So, Alex, that's the first game I've personally seen you play. You look really comfortable in defence. You just look like you should be there. But is that ultimately where you see yourself playing? I mean, I know you're happy to get a game anywhere, but where do you think you're best suited?
Yeah, I've been working hard on my defence. I think as a junior, I was, you know, I had a bit of talent, but really locking down and focusing on my defence has been a key for me, and James Podsiadley's been massive in that sense, and I guess getting that defence right has been huge. I've trained a little bit forward and stuff like that, and that's an option if they want me to play there, but as you said, I'll play wherever that I can get a game.
What did you notice most about last night? I actually saw some highlights before the game of you playing in the SANFL, and I must admit, you played exactly like you did in the SANFL. What was the biggest difference? Because that was, I can tell you, that first quarter and a half was finals-like last night.
Yeah, cheers. I guess, as I said, just try to focus on my defence, and, I didn't do anything too special, but just try to play my role and, get the ball to ground where I could and follow up as best I could. So it's a bloody good defensive unit at Adelaide. I think it's some, as you were speaking about with Jake Kelly and the like, there's some really underrated players back there that I think are some of the best in the competition. So it's awesome to play as part of that back six.
Alex, you've been through such a lot for someone who's still young in a life sense, but in a sporting sense, you've endured a lot. Go back to, if you can, the last over of that BBL game when you went for a lot of runs. How hard was it for you to be given the ball on that occasion to then have it unfold the way it did when you went for the high 20s in that over and it didn't work out well for your team as well? Was that the extinguishing of the cricket dream for you in a sense? And was it almost that moment or not long after that you wanted to then go to your second sporting love?
Yeah, no, thanks. Thanks for bringing that up. I appreciate it.
I was hoping to bring it up in the context of how good your story is, though, because of the backstory and the complicated nature that it's been for you to get to where you got to last night, which we love as a backstory.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And look, that was a massive slap in the face. Sean Marsh took me to pieces at the Wacker and got him into a Champions League final. So that was a huge moment for me. I wouldn't say that it was the end of my cricketing dream, because I pursued it for some time and played for Victoria and played some good cricket in South Australia after that. But it was a difficult time. I remember coming into the sheds after the game, and Brad Hodge, who's a pretty forthright character, if you've heard from Hodgie, and he's he's always pretty good with his banter. He sort of said, "Oh, the rumours are dead silent." He said, "Oh well, Keithy, back to footy, off you go, mate." So that loosened the mood. But thanks for bringing that up.
And just with it, Alex, there were headlines about you as a teenager about what decision you would make. It was a a very big decision for you to choose the cricket pass. We've seen someone else do that in recent times too, in Will Sutherland. Have you spoken to him, and do you know much about his cricketing capers?
Oh, no, I haven't. I haven't spoken to Will. He sounds like a bit of a gun. His cricket certainly in a much stronger position than mine was at that age. So, and I haven't seen any of his footy. You guys would probably be better versed on that side of things. But he's in a great situation. His old man's probably pushing him down the cricket aisle. But he's in a great position.
Keithy, let me take you back to a couple of the coffees that we had early on. When you said to me, what do you reckon? I said, Keithy, go with your heart, because that's the best place to go, and your passion. But did I or did I not say to you, understand how much more difficult cricket is to play than football? Only 60 people in Australia make a living out of cricket. 870 make a living out of footy. Are these the words I said to you at the time?
Oh. You did. You also said I'm a glutton for punishment, which is very, very true, JB.
Exactly. Mate, I and all the people that were on that journey with you, how can we say we're proud of you, because it's such a condescending thing to say. But, mate, for you to have done everything you've done and to play the way you did last night is just so brilliant. And I reckon it's Ripper. Oh. I know all the Melbourne Grammar people who you're involved with. The support would have been fantastic.
Yeah, thanks, mate. No, it was really special after the game, having me mates in the rooms, and my family there. It was a great night.
As I said to Alex after the game, always better to have 50,000 watching in than two.
80,000 80,000 Renegades stars.
Mate.
80,000.
Don't give me that crap. Cricket, everyone hates it. Can't stand it. Now, Alex, is it true that in the cricket mix that you at one stage went to England? Did you meet the Queen? Did I hear that you met the Queen?
Yeah. How'd you find that out?
I've got the tentacles going everywhere. Now, what happened on the meeting with the Queen? What did you say, or what did she say?
Oh, it was a bit embarrassing. I was captain of what's called a Crusaders touring side, who take young blokes over and try and teach them.
Swanee Richards from Grey Nichols.
Yeah, yep. Swanee, an absolute champion of a man. I was captain this day, and we play against the royal household each tour, and there's no guarantees that the Queen or any royalty will come down. But it was probably 20 overs in, they stopped the game, which was really bizarre at the time, and said, right, everyone off the field. And so off we go, and then we grab the blazers and whatnot, and we're told that the Queen's coming, and that I had to introduce my players to the Queen. Anyway, this is the first morning that I'd met a lot of these players. Oh. I didn't know a lot of their names.
Oh.
So I handled that responsibility pretty quickly. But I didn't grab her elbow, which was probably a good thing. Been recently.
Now everything else over there going all right, Keithy? Adelaide can be a little quieter. You're finding after hours, is anything swinging your way?
Oh, it's a beautiful city, James. It's a great, yes. Great place to be. No, yeah, it's all right. It's a nice place over here.
Keithy, how would you have gone sliding them down the wicket to JB? Would you have taken off or middle?
Please.
Or would you have got him for pace and caught behind? How would it have gone?
Probably wrapped him on the pads in front of middle of the court.
Keithy, when you go to my ground, which is where you played last night, just wander into the cricket dressing rooms and have a look on the walls. You'll see some fair evidence of the legacy there. Hey, don't ever do that. Keep doing what you're doing, mate. You're a star. We loved it last night, and we can't wait to see you playing deep into September.
Thanks, JB. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Alex Keith's a beauty. And I agree with you, Bristol. Look great at the level. Had a few kicked on him by Harry, but that'll happen.
Game was over then.
Yep. No, I'm with you. Great story. Great kid. We're going to get to the vault next.
He's amongst the finest interviewers of our time.
I'm ungettable.
When he's on the clock, Parko, Denton and Oakes take notice.
I am the man.
He's one of the best. This
is about me.
Is Bristol's Vault.
We'll take you back to 1991. 3 years at the Good Sports.
Aren't you sick of this?
And to Bristol.
No.
You were just dipping your toe in the water of broadcasting.
91.
Having had a glorious career with Collingwood, of course, Coleman Medal and all the rest of it.
Until he cracked it after
he didn't get in the grand final.
Wrote a book about it.
Cracked it. And then went to Paran. And that was controversial.
Cracked
it. Captain coach there.
Headbutted people.
got escorted off by horses and cops.
That's it.
And get off, you've been kicked off.
And why the rooms of the opposition coach.
Put a listening device into the opposition room.
I've got to prove this story one day.
Now, hang on, that's not quite.
No, I've nearly got someone to go on record with
a listening device.
Yeah, into the coaches' boxes.
Oh, I love it. Anyway, that was back in and the same time as the Pran, starting with 3UZ, the Good Sports, on Brekkie.
People should know, though, JB, that I didn't release this stuff. This was a clearing sale. My wife accidentally sold a box of tapes. She thought, this is rubbish, get rid of it. They were reel-to-reel stuff. You know, the ribbon sort of tape.
Yes, I do.
And she sold it. And right. 15 bucks, and it's caused me all this grief.
Well, just so that people know, what happened then is an anonymous person turned up at Triple M, Clarendon Street, with this box and said, I think the contents of this might be of interest to you.
That's exactly what happened.
And then
it's fair to say it has been, Jim.
Our producer, Luke, the massive nose tunnel cliff, then got hold of me and said, you will not believe what we've been handed in this box. These are tapes of Brian's first foray into broadcasting. Anyway, there's the vault. We've had Nadia Common Inch. We've had George Foreman take three other calls during the interview. All the stuff we've
Lee
heard.
Lee Burrell.
So what we're doing now is This is extraordinary. This is the captain's audition compilation from 1991. All the captains of the VFL clubs at the time came in to sing a song for Brian in the 3UZ, the Good Sports studios. No.
Yes.
Really? All of them.
Can you
all
believe this?
No, I can't.
All in there for DJ Bristol.
Eight of them.
So let's have a listen.
What does life hold for football's former greats? Can they follow the bouncing ball into musical immortality? Step aside, Springsteen. Stand back, Whispering Jack. Football's finest are strutting their stuff in Brian Taylor's Footy Auditions. Let's hear their song and give them the gong.
Former Collingwood captain Ray Shaw, who never led a premiership team, but he's on a winner here in the studio with Danny Boy.
Danny Boy.
It's the man with the moustache, the one and only David Cloak, and he might be singing about the day he got the word about his future at Collingwood as he revives the box tops classic, The Letter.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to catch a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a going home. My baby.
Greater 3UZ Good Sports.
The blonde bombshell and fitness fanatic Trevor Barker. Barks' dug upper, Johnny Nash Chestnut. A song that often ran through his mind as he flew up to take those magic marks at Moorabbin. In the studio, Trevor Barker with I Can See Clearly Now.
I can see clearly now that the rain has gone. I can see your obstacles in my way.
The former Cat wingman, Michael Turner, he loves a tough assignment. He was captain of the team that included Mark Jacko Jackson. But this one will be harder to handle. Michael's in the studio with the tropical hat, the maracas, and Factor 15 with Peter Allen's I Go to Rio.
When my baby, smiles at me, I go to Rio.
Greater 3UZ Good Sports.
Barry Ram was captain of the Swans when they made the big move from South Melbourne to Sydney. 1981 Brownlow medalist is now chasing a best and fairest in the studio as he tackles the Elton John song, Little Genie.
Oh, little genie, you got so much love.
Now, listen,
now,
JB.
Brian, now, hang on. Are we Bristol?
By the way, I reckon Roundy and David Cloak, they actually could sing a little, those two. The rest of them were putrid.
Now, I've got something to...
Brian, I'm hearing that we've got someone on the line.
Now, hang on.
Someone has... Bristol.
I don't know whether I should say what I'm going to say before...
During the course of that, someone has rung in... And he's on the line now to talk about what just went to air with the vault.
I can't believe you got all of those guys in to do that for you.
Well,
hang on, Brian, because we got him here. Who have we got on the line here, please?
Secret caller, but I'm just going to ring up and say that Brian's an absolute fraud. He had nothing to do with that record at all, JB.
Is this the great Michael Turner?
It is Michael Turner. And
What are you talking about, Turner?
You had nothing to do with it, Brian.
You came into the studio and sung for me.
Been a fraud.
You came into the studios and sung the song for me.
I did come into the studios, but you were nowhere to be seen.
Hey, so, Mick, are you saying that Brian put all of these songs to air and none of the performers were actually live in the studio?
Well, I think it was a promo for Brian, but look, the records are real. I've got the record at home myself, and I must say, after listening to all that, I was the best singer on there. At least I had some rhythm.
So, Bristol, you've put this segment to air.
I was trying to.
Trevor Barker in studio, Barry Round in studio.
Ray Shaw,
and none of them were actually there.
One of them was there.
As I was trying to tell you before, if you just let me finish, I've been trying to tell you for the last 10 minutes that I did edit this together, and there was a record, and the guys didn't come into the studio, even though we did do it as live.
Ray Shaw, you said he's never captained a premiership team, but he's on a winner here in the studio.
Yeah.
Hey, Mick, are you across this whole Vault series? Have you listened to any of the other ones of Brian back in the three years Ed the Good Sports days?
Look, he does push the truth a little bit and takes a lot of the glory himself. We all know that. But as you know, Brian's a good mate of mine, and I was listening to Triple M in the car, and I couldn't believe he's actually claiming some sort of right to that record, which is a legendary record. It's a little bit like David Bowie's Ziggy Stardust record at that level, and he's tried to take the credit. So I don't usually ring up, but I couldn't contain myself. Pretty many close.
Hey Mick, while we got you, and this is obviously very close to my heart, given where North Melbourne are parked on the ladder at the minute, 17th. So therefore, looking at pick two, what do you got down there at Geelong Falcons? Anything for us?
No, we've always got good players coming through, and now we've got another good crop this year, so it's just up to the recruiters to
Well, don't give us all the garbage. Who have you got? Name some names.
I'm not going to mention any names.
How good is Parrish? How good is Parrish's brother?
Well, he's a different player to Darcy. He's about 192 centimetres. Okay. He's a hard-tough inside mid.
How good is McCartan's brother?
He's going to be a very good player also, but he's very young. He just probably needs a bit more time.
How good is Billy Brownless's son?
Very good.
Very good. I think they're all going to play by the sounds
of it. Well, Oscar's only 17. He's got another year to go, but Oscar Brownless is showing all the good signs. And Geelong don't take any risk as father and son. So, from what he's shown this far, you'd think that he's a very good chance to be drafted.
And, Mick, it's my understanding with Oscar that he's a little bit less close to the fence than his old man was. Would that be true?
Billy was playing next to Gary Ablett, JB, so you've got to move out of the road a little bit because he's jumping on your head. But, Billy was a good player and he played in the great forward line with Barry Stoneman and obviously Ablett, but he's a fantastic bloke. And Oscar's a little bit different. He's a half-forward flanker, tall, sort of 190, half-forward flanker, ruck rover type, but a very, very smart player.
Clearly Mick's a very boring sort of a guy, JB. He doesn't really...
No, he's not. And he's done a towering job with the Geelong Falcons, so where the legacy's
there
for you, mate.
Can I ask one question of VT before I do go, JB?
Yeah, what do you got?
He'll tell the truth or he'll tell a lie. This is a really good test for Brian. Who taught you how to surf, Brian?
Yeah, well, you probably had a little hand in it, but I've now gone on past you.
Is it true? You were going to say Wayne Lynch for a minute.
Hey, Mick, is it true that Brian gets right out the back and then treats every other surfer as a speed hump?
He does, and I can tell some legendary stories there, but I did teach him how to surf, and he doesn't show a lot of respect in the surf to other people, including himself.
One thing Mick did show me was that we had this old lawyer down there at Lawn Point causing a bit of havoc on the point on his 10-footer. So Mick said, look, he said, next time you go out with this guy, he said, wait until he falls off the wave, then swim up to him and just bear hug him and go under, right? And hold him under for as long as you can so that when he comes up, he's got no breath and that's the time to bop him. So I've got this big lawyer and I've taken him under. I've held him under, come up and gone bang. And we never heard from that lawyer again, did we, Mick?
No, we haven't. And that is a true story, JB. That is true.
Hey, thanks for calling in, Mick. We love you on Triple M Footy.
On your boys, thanks.
The next billion seconds are the most important in human history as technology transforms the way we live and work. The smartphone, barely a decade old, has given billions access to information and capacities they've never had before. It's changing what we can do, and it's changing the shape of the future. So what does that future look like? Hi, I'm Mark Pesce, the host of The Next Billion Seconds, a new show on Podcast One. Join me as I speak to some of the brightest minds shaping that world, the people who are spending their lives forming that future. We'll hear about their work in helping shape those next billion seconds. Listen at podcastone.com.au or on the Podcast One app.
Bristol, if you'd have said to me, with your knowledge of the 46 players on the North Melbourne list, who wouldn't allow himself to be rested from a game of football, of those 46, I would say the man wearing number 7, Jack Zeeble.
Right.
And then we come into the game against the arch rival, the team North Melbourne can't stand more than any other in the comp, Essendon, and I hear that he's been rested.
Is he shitty?
Well, let's ask him. He's in here now. Zeeb, welcome to you.
How we going, boys?
What is this about, please?
Well, you could say it's a forced break. The coach obviously came to me earlier in the week and said that he's not going to pick me this week. I've got a few niggles at the moment, which I'm sure most players do at this time of year, and probably a week off won't hurt to try and get that.
Were there six-day breaks as part of that or not?
We had a six-day break last week, which probably had a bit of an impact, but I actually hurt myself a little bit on the weekend as well, so that probably added, was a straw that broke the camel's back in a sense.
I heard him talking about it. Must be a little bit more than a niggle for you to be missing games. And as you said, most players this time of the year have got them. What are we talking about?
There's a few things. That's probably the magnitude of it. It's not just sort of one sort of niggle, and I don't want to delve into it too much because I hope to play next week and I don't want to give anyone any ammunition. So it's a little bit disappointing not to be playing today against an arch rival in Essendon on Saturday afternoon football. And hopefully this week is going to give me a chance to freshen up and get back next week and be ready to go.
Is shoulder one of those niggles, Jack?
Potentially, but potentially not.
Just with it. I mean, we always get told when you cross that line, you get judged as you would if you're 100% fit or 10% fit. How hard is that, though, now that you've had the break and your coach has gone to you and spoke so glowingly of you during the week and explaining the reasons for that decision? But right now, how hard is it for you to be judged when you're not right?
I mean, it's hard, but at the same time, exactly what you said, Damo. I think as soon as you cross that white line, it doesn't matter who you play for or what position or what part of the team you're playing in. If you cross that white line, you're ready to go. And if you don't perform at the level, then essentially you probably shouldn't have played. So it's tough to be put in that position at times, and it probably comes with the experience to know your body as well, what you can get through and what you can play a game with. And outside of that, sometimes when you're a bit younger, you think you can play, and at times you can't, and that's for the coaches to decide when they think that it might impact a little bit more.
You're a proud warrior, though, and for you to be going through, I'd imagine, that situation this year in your first year as skipper. How hard is it, though, for you to deal with all of that in the transition that this club's going through?
Yeah, obviously I want to be out there with my teammates playing every week, and that's probably the frustrating part, is that not being able to play this week, I sort of missed the opportunity to help my teammates on the ground, and that was probably where I was most disappointed, the fact that I wasn't going to play. And probably going forward, it's probably not going to hurt me to have a rest, but I feel like I lose a sense of control and a bit of control freak, and the fact that you're not out there on the ground, and you know, we've got a pretty young side out there today, and those guys need as much leadership as possible, and we do have some good leaders out there, and Sean Higgins and Robbie Tarrant and Andrew Swallow, our former captain, so there'll be no shortage out there, but I think I still could add some stuff out there if I had a play today.
Tell us about a few of those kids that we don't know much about that are playing today.
Yeah, we've got 6 players under 10 games and half the side under 50 games today, so it's fairly young team, but we've got plenty of talent. A guy who's making his debut, Nick Larkey, is a tall forward, I think, out of Oakley, and he's kicked a couple of big bags in the VFL this year and turns up into some really good spots. We've got Cam Zerha from Perth. He's a really mature body for a young guy, and he's very powerful. He's very hard to tackle, so hopefully we can see some aggression out of him today up forward and putting a bit of pressure on. Obviously, Majak Dore probably into the ruck this week. We're looking to see what he can do. Obviously,
has he got bigger?
Yeah, somehow. I don't know how it works, but
he looks massive at the moment.
He's a big unit. He doesn't actually do too much weights in season because he just puts it on. It's a lot of genetics. I'm not like that, so I can't really.
but he'll play predominantly in the ruck today?
Predominantly in the ruck. So it'll be good to see Madge have a bit of a crack at it inside. And I think that's his best position as well. Keeping it simple for Madge, and obviously his aggression in the contest and his follow-ups is pretty important for him. And we'll look to try and, you know, accelerate that today.
How hard is it watching Todd Goldstein's situation at the moment, Jack, with what's going on everywhere in his life? And I say that with permission from the footy club to
introduce to the conversation the private issues he's going through without dealing with the specifics of them. But it's obviously all becoming a little bit difficult for him, isn't it, at the moment?
It is. It's a difficult situation. And obviously it's not ideal for Goldie to be playing for Werribee this week. We'd love our star ruckman to be playing for North Melbourne. But obviously his form over the last couple of weeks isn't at the expectations that he sets of himself and us as leaders and the coach have set for him. So he's taken it really well, his demotion this week. And I've got no doubt in his response tomorrow in the VFL against Box Hill that he'll come out and do what he needs to do and be playing back in the seniors as soon as possible, and which would be good to see.
Now, Duck, when you finished your career, you continued to support the club and you'd go down and you'd take training for a night. Damo, when you get the flick from Nine, you'll continue to hang around those people. When Eddie could just wipes week. You off the face of the earth, you'll continue to socialise with those people and give them a bit of hope.
They're good people.
Jack, just the thing I'd like to know with our leader here, JB, of course, since the chairman has stepped aside and he's no longer the chairman, have you seen him at North Melbourne at all?
I actually had to put my hand up to Heath, our media manager, to do this interview today because I haven't seen JB since JB stood down. So
that is factually incorrect.
I follow him on Instagram and I feel like I've seen him more on that than I have in real life. So
real lovey-dovey stuff.
JB.
Real lovey-dovey stuff.
Fair weather operator. Yeah.
Never thought I'd heard an untrue word come out of your mouth, Steve. So I'm giving you a second to correct that.
How many times have you been at the club since you finished?
Well, not as many, because, Jack, I've handed over to the great Ben Buckley, who's doing a superb job, and then it's incumbent on you to get out of the way.
And one thing we can't question is JB's passion for North Melbourne, but we would like to see you down there a little bit more.
I was down there recently, the Western Bulldogs game. Hey, tell us about your captaincy style. I know you've invested a lot of time in culture and values and getting this young group to understand what it means to be a shin boner and the privilege of pulling our jumper over your head.
I think that's probably the biggest thing right there, JB. As you hit the nail on the head, is with our footy club, it's a little bit different. Probably the previous generations that have gone before us, and Duck obviously had a big part in that through the 90s. And for our young guys, and especially with such a young list this year and probably today's team, us as a leadership group and myself as captain has really tried to instill what it is to be a shin boner and when you pull our jumper on what you need to do. And for us, it's pretty simple. It's do the team things really well and make sure you bring that effort every week. And if you bring that effort, then you know we're going to make mistakes as footy teams and as individuals, and if you make those mistakes with 100% effort, then we'll cop that. But you know, the day that you don't bring that effort is a day that, you know, sort of you're probably not living up to the shin boner expectations.
And Jack, just before we let you go, Robbie Tarrant, I believe, had some form of fitness test this morning. Are you aware of that? And is he absolutely right to go?
I actually am not aware of that. I would know if I know Big Tazza, but I think he's out there at the minute.
I saw him before.
Is he?
Warming up. So hopefully he can get the job done. If we lose Robbie, he'd obviously be a big loss because he's our big, strong fullback. And they've got a couple of dangerous forwards up there at the minute, the Bombers. So hopefully he can get out there and play.
Get down the rooms, Jack. He might actually be playing.
I think so. There's a guy by the name of Josh Williams, I believe, on what had been placed on standby, but okay. It sounds like he's got through the test. So,
no changes in the selected side, but doesn't mean there can't be a super late change.
Yeah. Well, is there someone just emerging out on the ground now?
Ooh.
That's Joshy Williams. Yeah.
There you go. Okay, well, something's going on there because I've been told he was placed on standby this morning and that Robbie Tarrant was going to miss, but then I've been told that Robbie Tarrant's passed the fitness test by certain people, but now someone's shaking that man's hand.
Josh Williams, he's come out onto the ground.
So is he a first gamer?
He's a first gamer.
Tell us about him, please, Zeebs.
Jay Will is from Townsville, far north Queensland. He's a very speedy outside mid who plays in the wing, and he's got some elite skills as well, loves a goal. Gets outside, breaks the lines, and he's a very talented player. Exactly what we need.
Interesting that all of the coaches are meeting in the middle of the ground, JB. Not that that is unusual, but they are all there having...
Was that a shake of the hands, though,
as
the kid came out?
It was a shake of the hands. It's like
a congratulations on your first game.
We haven't seen Robbie Tarrant. It still could be that Tarrant is warming up.
It could be just a maybe. Yep, it could be. But the mail was that it was out, but then the mail was that he's back in, but that Josh Williams was on standby, and then we just saw that as we spoke, that the hand was shaken then.
He was out before when they were just kicking around, Taz, but he's not out there now, I don't reckon. And that's a massive out if he comes out of the side, because obviously with Joe Danaher, Zeebs being in very, very good form for Essendon, I imagine Robbie Tarrant was penciled in as his company for the day.
I would have thought. But if you look down there, number 16 is also a pretty handy defender. And, and a guy by the name of Dan Nielsen's only played a couple of games, but we've got full confidence in him as well. And Sammy Durden down there as well. So we're well stocked down back for tools. If Tazza does miss, obviously he'll be a big loss, but I think we can still cover it.
And for North Melbourne fans, just 1 week for you?
Just 1 week. I'll be back next week and looking forward to playing Melbourne in Hobart, sunny Hobart.
Well, I'd like to think so, because when this boy was recruited from the Riverland area, Duck, you know, Aubrey, sort of Wodonga way, the scouting told us about how hard he was, how this bloke was as tough as anyone you've ever seen, and came down and broke two legs in the first minute he was at the club. I only ever saw him on crutches, had this sort of hangdog, woe is me look about him, and you know, now you're missing, just being
now
rested.
He's electing to rest himself.
Zeebs, where are we at?
Zeebs, do it. Just hit him.
I want to. Yeah, no.
Remember, we had this very discussion in the rooms one day. We were down in Geelong, and Zeebs was missing, had broken his leg, by the way, so he's hobbling along on crutches. And I had this exact conversation with him, and it was a reasonably brief answer I got, Zeebs, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it might have been, mate. But I was, I think at that time, an 18-year-old kid who was getting barreled by the president of the footy club about how soft you are for having broken his leg. So. Thanks, JB.
The first word was get duck, and the next one started with F.
Nothing's changed. From a man that wore a helmet against the spinners.
I thought at that time, Bristol, we have got the right bloke at our club. Good luck today, but also next week when you're back.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
Just had Jack Zeebel in Bristol, and obviously biased myself, but I absolutely love Zeebs. I know for a fact, and I won't go with what it is that's wrong with him. He has got four things wrong with him that would finish. Each one of them would see 95% of AFL footballers not playing a game. He's been carrying all four.
Right. So you think it's a good thing that he's had the rest?
Yep. He is horrifically bashed up.
But do you think he could have also played if it were a grand final?
If it was a grand final, he would have played. Yep. But he's been unders now, I reckon, for the best part of a month, because what he's had has been just horrendous.
Is it doing long-term damage, Jim, with some of these complaints? I mean, the shoulder's clearly an issue. He admitted that, and that's been the one that I think we've all known about.
Yeah. No, I think the other ones are, you know, but I'll put them in this category, Damo. They're in the James Hurd, you know, almost like car accident style injuries that he's had that have just really, most 99% of footballers would say, right, there's a month until I fix this, and he's just been having them jabbed and playing, and he's a very tough boy.
Extraordinary thing when you're listening to Triple M Football, that interview with Jack Zeebel just a moment ago. During that interview, we had the media manager Heath O'Loughlin here, we had Jack Zeebel himself here. Neither of those guys knew. They'd just come from the rooms, Damo. You spotted the fact that Robbie Tarrant wasn't out there, and he was out there 10 minutes earlier, and you noticed a young fella trotting onto the ground as an emergency.
Look, someone just said that it was going down, but we did check, as you say, with Heath, that Robbie Tarrant was okay. And at that moment, Heath said he passed the test, but clearly this guy had a different view on what was going on. And
so it could be just a safety factor that he's warming up, couldn't it, the young fella?
Well, possibly, but did we get some more information as Heath left the box?
We saw the handshake.
The handshake, yeah.
The handshake.
That's enough, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
And that is massive for North today, because he is, in my view, an All-Australian defender, Robbie Tarrant, and he would have been playing on Joe Danaher. Now he ain't.
So my point probably is, that's why you listen to Triple M Footy. Not even the captain or the communications manager knew before we knew.
So, Duck, this is seven players today for North Melbourne under 10 games. That is now, I think, with Josh Simpson, is that the 10th debutant this year, or certainly the 9th?
Hang on, I'll get back.
Nearly a record, barring GWS and Gold Coast of recent years. That would be nearly a record for first games in a year.
Yeah, and it would, so it would be a miracle if they were even to be competitive today, given the way the Kangaroos play, JB. And the one thing that you can, you know, you can say whatever you like about Brad Scott, and we were actually talking about this a couple of weeks ago, and that is, what's the best way to teach an up-and-coming team? Clearly, Brendan Bolton has gone that defensive style, keep possession of the footy. Kangaroos have never done that. They attack. They take the game on. So, yes, they can score, but they can be scored against. Now, playing the
Bolton doesn't let that happen,
no,
does he?
No, but playing the Bombers, who clearly have been very good at doing exactly that. They'll take the game on. They'll go through the corridor. So, if this is going to be a shootout between two teams, because of that inexperience, this could get ugly.
12 players under 50 games, Damo. 7 under 10. That's got to be almost a record in my time of watching the Kangaroos play. I don't ever remember us having this inexperienced team in the time.
100%. Yeah, I agree. Totally. Then, and you know what? I don't know whether you've said this already, JB, but the Kangaroos, I said this to BT this morning on the plane, they've never, ever bottomed out since I've been at the club in the last 25 years, have never finished anywhere near the bottom of the ladder.
No, they're the only club left, I think, although Sydney Swans maybe, I don't know, the only other team never to have had the first pick in the draft. I reckon it might only be the Sydney Swans. So there's only two clubs in the competition who have never had the first pick. Essendon were until McGrath last year. It was their first time they had ever received the number one pick. So that's to illustrate your point, Duck. And look, if I take my North Melbourne hat off, and it's tough to do, but if I do, Damo, what they're doing is exactly what they need to do, because you cannot keep finishing ninth and think you're going anywhere. You may as well, if you're going to have a bad year, you may as well have a real bad year. Yeah. You may as well have a look at all your kids. Get a, you know, the Bontempellis, the Petrarcas, they never get to good clubs.
Yeah, I hear you, Jim. But again, I think this is part of what you're saying too. But of those eight now debutants and of those other young kids who are getting the regular opportunity, how many of them are going to be there in 6 or 7 years' time by way of this plan when they go back up the ladder? And I think that's a quality issue, BT, with this list.
Yeah, but you're judging them on 8 games. Like, Jai Simpkins played 8 games. You've got to give him a 50-game sample, I think, for a really talented kid to see if he's going to be any good or not. I think Simpkins going to be a beauty. Yep. But he's playing his 9th game today. Mm. So it's hard to judge, especially when you're playing in a 17th-ranked team.
Got a little bit of duck in me. I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist. And, Damo, given the fact they are 17th on the ladder.
1 game ahead of the 18th team.
Oh, boy. They're not trying to back off here, are they, North Melbourne?
No.
Hang on. This has been pointed at Melbourne over the years and Fremantle and others. They're not trying to back off and secure the top pick, are they?
Well, number two is probably going to be as good as number one as a rule anyway.
Well, no.
No chance of that, Bristol. They've got the best percentage of any 17th ranked team in the history of the comp, or second last team.
Yeah, that's because they attack and don't defend, but that doesn't mean they win. But what I'm saying here, JB, is you just pointed out the raw numbers there in terms of youth in this side.
I'm not one to defend Brad Scott as a rule, BT, and that's the situation. But when they've had a season where they've lost 4 or 5 games as narrowly as they have, I don't think, of all the things you can direct at him, that is not one of them.
No, I'm only asking the question. No. I'm not accusing anyone. I'm just saying.
That's incorrect, Bristol. No. And you've got Williams, Jacob, Zeeble, Wright, Wood, Vickers, Willis, McMillan, Turner, Tarrant out of this side. So that's their biggest problem.
And to BT's point, if Brisbane, who is playing as we speak on this particular round, Carlton, manages to win, and they're going to go into that with a significant chance, BT, given it is at the Gabba.
I'll tell you something.
There'll be equal points. It'll be percentage only difference.
If I arrive back here next Saturday.
We're down in Tassie.
Yeah, and we spend the week, or the media spend the week, talking about what I've just suggested.
Yeah.
And we're back.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to explode. Right. Because I hope it's not right. I don't think it's right.
No, it isn't right, Brian.
Be, BT, that they both finish with 16 premiership points out of this round. Because no one is picking North to beat Essendon, and some people are picking Brisbane.
It's a disgraceful inference, Brian.
It wasn't even an inference. It was a question.
Duck, you and I both take enormous offence at even what he's inferring.
No, exactly right.
It's not in the club's DNA.
We just had the captain in here, exactly. Jack Zeeble, talking about that thing.
Yeah. Mm. Now, Bristol, tell us something we don't know. Is where
yes,
we're at
now,
and I know there's stuff you're sitting on.
I've got a bit of Broadway stuff. It's a bit of non-football sort of. The end attachment is football related.
Right.
The initial part, we all know Johnny Depp, of course, and good actor, Duck, isn't he?
Yeah, very good.
Unusual sort of operator.
He's Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yep. Did he marry her or go out with that
Amber Heard?
Yeah,
with Barnaby Joyce had a few issues with their dogs.
Good type, Amber, and they were together.
Delicately put, Bristol.
And I think they split. In fact, they have.
Yes,
quite ugly. Ugly split. I mean,
is Amber Australian? Amber?
No, I've heard her talk.
Well, she's hanging around in Australia a lot. She's hanging around on the Gold Coast. I'm led to believe, Duck. And there's a guy that actually plays with the Gold Coast that's sprung up a bit of a. A bit of a, sort of a relationship.
Well, people can't see your facial expressions on radio, BT, so.
I'm told Mitch Hallahan, the much-travelled Mitch Hallahan, is, I don't know whether it's just they are friends or relatives in some way related, but they are spending a bit of time around each other. Oh. This is Amber Heard and Mitch Hallahan, I think this is right.
Bristol.
If it's not right, I'll withdraw my comments.
Oh, no.
But I think, given
you saying Mitch Hallahan's tracking square with Amber Heard.
Well, Damo. I think.
You can't be saying that.
Have you checked this? Or
well, I haven't checked it, but I've heard it from very good advice.
That is good.
Well, your mail's normally good, BT.
As long as they're happy.
Yeah.
Of course.
Now, what else did I
have? I've got one. Do you want me to throw one in there, Bristol,
while you're doing it?
It's a quick one. Yeah. It's my mail, Damo, that our man's been at it again. At a function last week for the great Luke Hodge, the 300-game superstar, four-time premiership, three-time premiership captain, Norm Smith twice, all the rest of it. Hawthorn put on a great turn for him, where as they would for one of their favourite sons, and up got Al Clarkson, the superstar coach, apparently spoke brilliantly about Hodgie and the impact he's had.
I think Campbell Brown spoke beautifully.
Got up
and, I think Birch will try to.
And he spoke beautifully, and then Birch got up and might have been not as good as those other two, but still okay. Yeah. And then...
Yeah.
Johnny Barker.
Here we go. Oh, no.
Brought the whole thing to a screaming halt.
Like he did at the wedding.
He got up at Campbell Brown's wedding as the MC and was the worst MC a wedding's ever seen, to the point where he was heckled, Bristle, from the floor by Hawthorn players.
So he's done it again.
Get off. Stuff like that was being said to him as he was trying to MC a wedding in Bali.
Fast becoming the world's most boring man.
My understanding, Damo, he's got up at Hodgie's turn and was eye-dryingly horrendous. Johnny Barker.
Well, don't talk him down because he's the number one candidate for if the Gold Coast Suns require someone to coach them next year. He's going to be the number one person they speak to.
This is nothing to do with his coaching ability or acumen. This is just as a public speaker in front of a microphone on the lectern. Horrific. Now, for the second time and choosing the wrong people, Bristle, be horrendous in front of.
That is a shocker. You can't have speeches like that. Duck, I know that you've got one for us shortly, but can I go with the one from the plane this morning?
Not the way you spoke. No, definitely not.
Not on the plane. Anyway, it was an interesting trip on the plane on the way from Adelaide to here, Duck.
Well, I heard
I'm lucky to be here.
I had a little rumour, BT, and this one involves you. Is it true that you...
Hang on, this is of a personal nature?
Yes. No, it involves you.
Run it by me before you
go with it. Yeah. Little birdie, have you got a property in Lawn anywhere?
Oh, now, Duck, I don't know whether we should be disclosing
I'm not going to give you the street name or the street number, but have you got a property in Lawn?
The Lawn region. We did have one.
You did have. Okay,
very recently.
So you've sold that property. Is that true?
That's true.
Little birdie told me you sold it. Now, this is very unusual. Ooh. Someone told me that, you know who bought the property?
Who?
A guy by the name of Brian Taylor.
Oh, hello, Bristle.
Is there any truth in that?
So you're saying Brian Taylor sold
a property in Lawn to a Brian Taylor.
You sell your own joint to yourself, Bristle.
Is that true?
That is
what's
true.
Sort of
is that
short?
True?
That is true. We had trouble. You had to sign a stat deck. And the guy said, you're taking the piss. You can't. Brian Taylor can't be selling and buying. And I said, well, we are. But we are two different people.
That is a true story.
He reckons. I ran into him the other day down there. He said he has copped that much stick for having the name Brian Taylor. He said he feels like he's the most hated person in Australia.
We need to get to a break.
Good. So you get a good price off Brian?
Yeah.
Wasn't as good as I thought it would have been.
Now, Bristle.
Public announcement. JB.
Yes.
Just on the Mitchie Hallahan.
Yes.
What's her name?
Amber Heard.
I just want to have a retraction on that. I just want to withdraw and apologise.
Oh, yes.
I may have got that wrong.
The wrong name.
Right. It wasn't Amber. It was someone else.
Someone else heard about Amber.
I got confused with the Christian names and I apologise.
So you heard something was going on.
Sincerely.
Yeah, that's it. And it mightn't have been Mitch. It might actually be a whole different bloke.
So you heard wrong.
Yeah, I think that relationship's not happening.
Not happening. All right. And we just heard Robbie Tarrant out of the side. And he has been replaced by another debutant for the Kangaroos. And this young man has come screaming out. Damo's all over it.
Josh Williams.
Josh Williams is his name, and we'll watch how he goes with great interest, not playing another Josh Green for the Essendon Footy Club.
And just emphasising that retraction again.
Yes.
Just that is a sincere retraction.
Oh, yeah, I get that. And we got Josh in the studio here with us. Josh, welcome.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Mate, you're getting the Kangas at the right time. Robbie Tarrant just out of the side late with a back hit complaint, we understand. So that's good news for the Bombers and certainly good news for Joe Danaher.
Yeah, look, Robbie's a great player and he's had a great year, but we're not going to take him lightly. As you can see with the competition this year, if you're 10, 15% off, you can... lose those tight games. So we're, trained really hard this week and, prepared well. So hopefully we can play a four-quarter game.
Before the boys all get stuck into you, tell for all the millions of Bombers fans listening exactly your status. When are you playing again? What's the story?
Yeah, so just last week, just tightened up in the hammy. So trained this morning, trained well. So hopefully just miss a couple games and then hopefully back against Carlton. So, yeah, not too bad.
So what's it been like since joining the Bombers? What have you made of the place? Are you a Victorian, by the way?
No, from Hobart.
Hobart, right.
Sunny Hobart.
Yeah.
I loved it. I kind of needed it. I was a bit stale up in Brisbane and really enjoyed the new environment, new coach, new faces. So, we've been a little bit inconsistent this year, but I've really enjoyed my football.
The last couple of weeks have been really good, obviously, and the commentary outside the club has now the club being a massive chance to do something pretty special. Is that what you're also talking about internally, without getting too carried away? But do you realise that you are on the verge potentially of doing something quite amazing?
Oh, look, yeah, you don't really talk about it, but I think the guys know if we can string the next six games together and play some really good footy like the last couple of weeks, anything's possible. So... as I said before, the competition's so tight that you know, if you're off by a little bit, you will lose those games. So, we're starting to become a bit more consistent, which is good.
And just coming off the consecutive losses, the horrific way the events unfolded in Sydney when you lost it in the last 3 minutes, and then the following week just gave it up in the last quarter against Brisbane Lions. Was there something said after the second of those two losses that just helped you galvanise and regroup? Because it was at that point, it looked as though it was slipping away from you, didn't it?
Yeah, we sort of just spoke about playing the Essendon way. Doesn't matter what the score is. And I think last week showed against St Kilda, we're up by, I think, 50 points, and we kept trying to take the game on with that quick style. And even if we're down, keep playing the Essendon way and it'll get us back in the game. So I think it just comes back to that, and I think that brings consistency. So that's what we just spoke about. No special fixes, but... just trying to keep playing the Essendon way.
You got a different forward line up there with yourself, McDonald, Tip and Woody, Fantasia, those guys. What's the idea? You've got your two-pronged attack hooker. You've got Danaher up there. Is it a matter of trying to isolate? I mean, you're all little guys. Very unusual, hard to match up on. Must be a lot of fun, though.
Yeah, I think we've only played like 12, 14 games together, so it's really exciting. And hopefully we can keep this core group together for the next 5 to 6 years and have some success. But... we like to get Joey and Hooksy one-on-one, and it was obviously hard to play on in that case. So, and then the smalls, myself, Tipper and Raz, we just try and get to their feet and play our role, provide pressure and try and lock the ball inside 50 for as long as we can.
It is an electric style that the Bombers are playing,
and
the crowd
style.
Love it, and that's why they're starting to come back. Essendon have had some enormous numbers attending their games in recent time, but there must be some parameters to it, Josh. You can't just go out and do what you want to try and in trying to get the ball to move quickly. There must be some parameters that Worsfold puts in place.
Yeah, obviously you can't go quick all the time because you're probably not fit enough. You can't go up and down all day. Sometimes you've got to move the ball, take it, a bit of control of the footy and just move it up the ground slowly. So, you don't want to shoot out every week because it attacks you a fair bit.
Been a lot of talk about how the Bombers will finish off the year. Six rounds to go, big game today. All of those guys that have come back, you obviously train with them. I know you're injured at the moment, but how do you see their training? Do they look like they're running on top of the ground? Some of them struggling, some of them, feeling good. What's the general feel on how those guys are feeling?
Yeah, speaking to a few of them, they're pulling up really well. Job had a rest last week. I think that was planned. He's a bit older than some of the other guys. But speaking to Dave Myers and... Tommy Bell Chambers, they're pulling up really well, and I think it's exciting. They said the back half of the year will be their strongest part of the year, so that's exciting. And the more footy they'll play, the better they'll be.
Now, Josh, we need to talk about Little Araz. This is a man, of course, who Bill Brownless sent to get him a coffee when David Zaharakis came in for an interview at the Rush Hour. Bill thought he was a work experience kid at Triple M and sent him downstairs to get him a coffee. He has now established himself as one of the better small forwards in the comp. Is it true he branded himself Razzle Dazzle?
He actually did. Even before that interview up at the Gabba, he, when I first got the club, I said, oh, what do they call you? He's like, Razzle Dazzle. I'm like, wow, what have we got here?
He gave the nickname to himself.
Who was this?
Araz, yeah. Araz,
you, calls man.
Himself Razzle Dazzle.
He speaks in third person. Yep. Yeah, the Razzle Dazzle's here. So, but that's great. He brings that energy, and it's really infectious. And whenever the boys are a bit down, it's great to have him around the group.
Do they know BT's built him up?
No, they don't.
Does he know that?
Yeah, he knows that. He tells everyone. Roaming Brian.
What about the two guys down in the back line, or two of the guys down in the back line, at the extreme ends of their careers? McGrath obviously starting out, and Kelly toward the end, but showing no signs of tiring. What impact are they both having in your eyes?
Obviously, you hear things about James Kelly coming in, and just the knowledge he's passing on, I think it'll fast-track the likes of Andy and Connor, Matty D, who's not playing today, but I think just the knowledge that he's passing on, and that the connection he's bringing the whole defence together has been great. And Andy, I've never seen a more composed young player in the time I've been in the AFL. And I think it's exciting when he actually gets to move into the midfield eventually, what he can bring to the side.
And tell us, Joe Danaher, we had from the Hawthorn Football Club, Ben Stratton, last week, and we talked about the Noble Boy brew that he and Joe Danaher have put together, this boutique beer. Has he infiltrated the club with that? Are you getting a taste of it?
Forced to drink it?
Yep.
No, we haven't had a taste yet. A couple of boys have had it a couple of times and said it's a really nice beer. So, yeah, Joe likes to have a good balance between footy and away from it, and it's an exciting venture for him. And yeah, I think it's in most pubs around Melbourne, so try one.
Got both of them real weird mates.
Yeah, they're
just different cats.
Real Brunswick Street operators.
they like hanging around Brunswick.
Stupid moustache and weird ass sort of hairstylings.
DJing.
Yeah, everyone's different, I guess.
Hey, Joshy, good luck when you get back. I couldn't agree with Damo anymore. Just a nice tear the Bombers are on, and a ripping, hopefully, last 6 weeks into a big final series.
No worries. Thanks for having me, guys.
Good on, Josh.
All right. Coach Hyatt. Yep.
Just interesting too, JB. Zeebel, yep. McMillan, Tarrant, all out.
Yes.
So doing a Bradbury today to accept the leadership, the captain is Sean Higgins. He's doing a big Higo. Bradbury. They've all fallen over, and somehow he's ended up with it.
Or do they go back to Andrew Swallow and just get him to do it out of memory?
Damo, anything else to leave us with today?
Yeah, watch this space, obviously, with Nick Riewoldt, BT, playing for St Kilda tonight against the Swans.
What do you mean, watch this space?
Well, this is playing out exactly the way it was always planned to play out, and that is that the decision will not be made until the end of the year. And when I say watch this space, with 6 games left of the home and away season, maybe a final, we're within 7 weeks probably of knowing. And
so his management wanted an answer today?
Nah, look, they knew exactly how it was, BT, and I spoke to his management, Tom Petro, on Thursday, and there was an interesting quote within a larger quote, and it was, if it's over, it's over. There's a realisation that it could well go that way, and if it does, he's going to be, reluctantly albeit, but he's going to be okay with it, and will accept it publicly, graciously. But clearly when you get to this point of the season, when you do want an answer, you're not getting one. Yep. You know it's at best line ball, and the way I think we've been reading this now for some time is it's less than 50-50 for him.
Surely, Damo, they can't wait till the end of the year, because if it is all over for Nick Riewoldt, like we're doing with Luke Hodge now, surely you want three to four weeks.
Confidentially.
Oh, confident. Well, I hope so, because you'd like 3 to 4 weeks for... Well, I don't think it should be confidential either. You want the fans to be able to say goodbye to their champion. I mean, you're talking about a champion of that footy club and a champion of the AFL.
How many goodbyes do you want? Once or twice is enough.
Okay. Well, a few rounds to go or a couple of rounds to go.
I mean, we saw what happened to Mark Bickley. He had more goodbyes than you can poke a stick at. And in the end, we were just saying goodbye.
Okay, but I just think it's really important that they get it right, because you don't want to see a Boomer Harvey scenario. And I think the way the Hawks, and more importantly, I think the way the Bomber, the way Geelong have handled their superstars. Now, some of those superstars were not necessarily really happy about it. They've gotten it over it now, Brownie, but it was handled in the right way.
Yeah, Hodge.
And you look where Geelong are on the ladder now, still in the top two, yet they've let go of some of their absolute champions.
They had a few issues with, just to back over what you said, Doug, they did have a few issues with Jimmy Bartel and the way that was done. But, but again, in isolation, it was an issue, but in the collective of them phasing out some amazing players, you're right, they've handled it really, really well.
Anything else, Damo, before you go?
Concussion issue too. Cade Collard-Jasny, BT, a guy who was the runner-up in the best and fairest at the Suns only 2 years ago, out for the year with a pretty serious issue relating to concussion. Got a really heavy knock last year, played after that point, but copped another knock about 5 or 6 weaks ago, and as such, erring on the side of caution.
And I'll tell you what, Brian, Damien wore a really interesting pair of pants last night with a real flowery pattern all over them. Oh. It was very different sort of stuff for Damien Barrett last night.
Is that because he's trying to keep up with you young guys?
Well, I think so. I think so. It was a big day at Channel 9 yesterday when changes happen, people do silly things, and I thought his pattern pants last night,
as you know, Brownie,
were one out of the box.
It was on trend, I would have thought.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Damo, see you later.
See you, boys.
Shut up. The footies on Triple M.
Triple M rocks football.